Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Edgar Lujano, producer for the live show and filling in for Cy Kellett today. He should be back tomorrow. He'll be joining you guys for an episode with, I believe it's Jimmy Akin tomorrow. But today I have the great pleasure of being with, I want to say, two different generations of the apologetics world. For the second hour, we're going to have our very own Tim Staples, one of the legends in the apologetics world. But for this first hour, we have somebody new, a new guest for Catholic Answers. He is one of the new kids on the block. You may recognize him the moment he opens his mouth. And if you don't, then you need to know who he is. His name is Alex. He is from a page called The Voice of Reason. He's been on YouTube for how many years now?
We started not even 2 years on YouTube. I think we started in July of 2023.
Okay.
So we're about to hit the 2 years on YouTube.
2 years, and you're already seeing a lot of great success in the apologetics world.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so honored. This is like a childhood dream come true for me to be here on the show. I made a brief cameo appearance about a month ago. Talked to Jimmy Akin, to Cy Kellett. It was cool, but now I'm actually in the hot seat. So thank you for having me. This is very surreal.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you here because you and I both are the next generation because you and I both, I guarantee, were influenced by Catholic Answers around the same time.
Yes.
And now you and I get to be around this table talking it up.
It's crazy what the Lord does for us, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Glory be to him, that's for sure.
Glory to God forever.
Well, today's topic, the first hour, we're going to be talking to Alex about the Eastern Catholic Churches because he is known for being a Eastern Rite Catholic. So we want to talk about anything in regards to the Eastern churches. So if you have a question for Alex, the Voice of Reason, you are more than welcome to call 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. You can go ahead and give us a call. There are a few lines open, so if you want to talk to him, you'll definitely be able to get there. Once again, 888-318-7884. Now, Alex, you made a splash in the online world recently by speaking to a pretty famous Protestant YouTuber named by the name of George Jenko.
Yes.
So, for those of you who are either listening on radio that are not familiar with the whole situation, they recently had a video where they gathered together a lot of Protestant apologists and evangelists. And they called it the Christian Avengers. And there was no either Catholic or Orthodox representation for that matter. And eventually, I think George realized that he needed to have a Catholic to respond and defend the Catholic faith. So then you were invited on.
Incredible. I talked to George Jenko last, a little over a week ago. And our podcast already has almost half a million views on YouTube. You know, George Jenko's a really, really big deal. And we talked about the Eucharist. And what was so fascinating about that conversation that we had is that in the beginning of the talk, George Jenko talked about his belief that the Eucharist was just a symbol. It was only symbolic. By the end of it, he affirms true presence.
No way.
Some kind of true presence. He said, yeah, there is a true presence there when you go and you receive the Eucharist. So I'm actually going to be talking to him again, God willing, here pretty soon. And we can continue the conversation and we can keep working out the Eucharistic theology and talk about, you know, we kind of ended on a cliffhanger the first conversation because the question that he asked was, who's able to administer the Eucharist? Mm. And we kind of ended on that cliffhanger. So we're gonna you know, do it again. And George Jenko is a wonderful man, wonderful person, great guy. He treated me like a brother, treated me so well. And I look forward to talking more with him. And yeah, our conversation has made a huge splash. Honestly, I would call it life-changing.
Yeah.
You know, for me and for my man Jonathan, my producer, so many things have changed just from talking to him.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. I remember watching that video and you evangelizing to him and giving him a little gift, which I noticed something amongst that gift that you gave him.
So, how to do it, man.
Yeah,
how to do it.
The big conversation of that, in the big theme of that conversation was a Eucharist, so you graciously gave him one of our books.
Yep.
One of Joe Heschmeyer's books.
Had to do it, man.
Yeah, the Eucharist is really Jesus, so
yes.
That's awesome. So bringing in all the apologetics that's possible.
Joe Heschmeyer, thank you for the great work that you do, and, you know, I'm who I am, but that's Joe Heschmeyer. So I had to, you know, give him the best, you know?
Yeah.
So I would love, you know, for George to come and hang out with us, and he could talk to Joe, he could talk to Jimmy, he could talk to all of the great apologists here, because, again, George is a great guy, and, you know, he's open. He's open to the fullness of the truth.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I want to slightly transition into a different topic, which is the main topic of today's show, which is the Eastern Catholic Churches. Now, I know you and I are the same Hispanic lineage,
yes.
And there are not a lot of Eastern Catholics that are Hispanic. So where did this come from? I assume you ended up changing rites, or you started attending the Eastern rites,
mm-hmm.
liturgy.
I did, yeah. So it's funny you say that, because now that I practice as a Byzantine, my church is now full of a bunch of Mexican guys, a bunch of Hispanic guys that are now coming because they want to check it out too. I started going to the Byzantine church in the year 2021. For all of us who remember those dark times, we know what we were going through with certain, you know, lockdowns and things like that. It turned out that my local parish in Albuquerque, New Mexico, our Byzantine church was the only church in the state that remained open during that situation we were going through. Mm. And, you know, so I hadn't gone to Mass in 6-7 months. I got curious one day, so I just Googled, are there any churches open in my area? That was the only one. I had no idea
Wow.
that there was an Eastern Catholic church 15 minutes away from where I lived. So I started going there. I went there that first Sunday with my father, and it was beautiful, and I fell in love. The community took me in with open arms, and they just haven't been able to get me out ever since.
Wow.
So I've just fallen in love with the Eastern tradition of Christianity.
Were you aware that it was an Eastern church, and did you know what
yeah.
the Eastern church was?
I knew all about it.
Okay.
Because I had studied it. I knew all about it. I just didn't know that there was one in my area.
That's cool.
But yeah, I knew about the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. I know about the Eastern churches, so it was cool to study them and read the books on them and have the knowledge, but then to be able to go and see it in person, that was special.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, if you have a question for Alex, the voice of reason, you can go ahead and give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH to talk to Alex, the voice of reason. And again, I'm not going to repeat the reason why they call you the voice of reason.
The voice of reason. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? It's a great mystery, one that we'll only find out on the other side of this life, right?
Yes.
So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and go to early break. And when we come back, we'll start jumping into calls. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm excited.
Sounds good. All right. Well, if you want to talk to him, once again, it's 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1981. The FCC license to operate a satellite earth station, the first ever given to an order of nuns, was granted to Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. Mother Angelica flips the switch and EWTN begins transmitting from Irondale, Alabama.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Once again, Edgar Lujano filling in for Cy Kellett's here with Alex of the Voice of Reason. If you got a question, we're talking about the Eastern Catholic Churches. So if you have any question about the Byzantine Church, what that looks like, maybe the history of it, maybe the differences between the Latin Rites and the Eastern Rites, Alex would be the man to ask that question too. So you're right now with the Byzantine Church. It's not, you know, Chaldean or anything like that.
Byzantine, it's the Greeks. I'm hanging out with the Greeks right now.
All right, they got good food too, by the way.
They do.
Yeah.
The Chaldeans, though, they have great food too.
That's true.
But
yeah.
When I'm here in San Diego, I'm a Chaldean, man. I hang out with the Chaldeans in San Diego.
Well, you were just with Father Simon,
I was
weren't
just
you?
With the great Father Simon. We're going to be going over to his church later. St. Michael's, you know, I hang out with the Chaldeans here in San Diego, brother.
All right. I'm not hurt. Maybe just a little bit. But not too much, right? All right. Well, let's go. Let's start with the first call. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right. Great. We go over to Noah, who's listening on in Dallas, Texas, on the Catholic Answers Live app. Noah, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Doing well. Okay. So just a little backstory of my question. My grandfather is a priest. He's actually the oldest priest in the Diocese of Dallas. And before I was born, he was asked to go help out in a Byzantine church nearby because the priest was gone. He was having to go help some anointing, I believe. But he was able to get back a day early, and so he didn't have to go help. But the thing is, my grandpa is a Roman Catholic, and I was wondering, like, would that have been possible for a Roman Catholic priest to go and serve and celebrate the Eucharist in, say, like a Byzantine rite?
It is possible. Any priest of any rite can indeed celebrate the Eucharist and other rites as long as that priest has the permission. It's called being a bi-ritual priest. There are certain priests that are able to celebrate in the Roman rite, in the Byzantine rite, or, you know, any of the two rites. So you have to have the faculties that are granted to you by both your ordinary, that is, you know, if you're a Latin priest, your Latin bishop, and then also the bishop of the rite that you would be celebrating under. So the Byzantine bishop would have to give you, you know, permission to be able to celebrate the Eucharist in a Byzantine liturgy in that bishop's church, in that bishop's eparchy. So yes, it is possible. And if they had asked this particular priest to celebrate, you know, the Eucharist at a Byzantine church, then that means that he would have had to have had the allowance. He would have been canonically able to do so. He would have been a bi-ritual priest. And there are many bi-ritual priests. For example, Pope Francis, he in Argentina was a bi-ritual priest. He celebrated both the Latin liturgy and also the Byzantine liturgy.
Wow. Yeah. How's that, Noah?
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Back home in Albuquerque, my priest at my parish, at my local parish, at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church, those priests, they have they're bi-ritual priests, and they can celebrate. They celebrate the Latin Mass as well. Hmm. And then I've seen Latin Mass priests also celebrate the Byzantine Divine Liturgy as well in Albuquerque. So it's really cool.
Wow, that's cool. That's all right. Anything else, Noah? Any follow up?
No, that's all. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks,
Noah.
Thank you, Noah. Thanks for your call. Really appreciate that. Again, if you got a question for the Voice of Reason, you can call us 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. Before I get to the next call, Alex, I wanted to ask you, so what was your faith development like? So it sounds like you started at a pretty young age. And mm-hmm. before you went to the Byzantine church, you were already practicing as a Catholic. When did that start?
I sure was. So I was 14 going on 15 when I started really diving into the faith, reading all the books, listening to Catholic Answers, all the material, and just really diving in and just learning it, because I really fell in love. I really, really, really fell in love with Jesus Christ and with the faith and with His church, and I wanted to know everything that there was to know. And that love has never gone away. I'm so passionate about this, and you know, when you're in love, you just want to learn everything about the person that you're in love with, and that's my Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just learn as much as I can about Him and His church. And always, I'm one of the I guess, what do you call it, success story, that I was a cradle Catholic that grew up in the church as an altar server. And I, you know, by the grace of God, I was able to always be in the church. I never fell away. I never tried other things. Always been Catholic my whole life.
You know what's interesting about that is when you and I were probably listening to Catholic Answers, most of the people that were guests on the show were converts mm-hmm. who had discovered the Catholic faith and basically found the truth and were on fire. Meanwhile, all the cradle Catholics were so uncatechized that they had to learn from the converts about the Catholic faith.
Right.
And now here you and I are as cradle Catholics. And so it sounds like there's a shift going on in the Catholic world. Are you seeing that more and more amongst within your ministry?
Yeah, I see a little bit of everything. I see so many reverts. I see cradle Catholics that were always strong Catholics, and that they, same as my story, they just fell in love with the faith and they wanted to learn it. And I think that the reason that there are so many cradle Catholics that are on fire right now is because we are all growing up amidst, you know, non-Catholic Christian tradition, so they want to know. They want to know how to be able to explain the Catholic position. And, you know, when you have all of these different types of, you know, denominations that you're surrounded by, it kind of incentivizes you and it inspires you to learn your own faith.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, great. Awesome, great. Well, let's go back to the calls. We go to Abraham in Atlanta, Georgia, watching us on YouTube. Abraham, you are on the air with the Voice of Reason.
Hey, I just want to say real quick, hey, keep up the good work, Voice of Reason.
Thank you so much.
My question is, does the Eastern Catholic Churches hold the same belief of marriage as the Roman Rite? Like as an annulment, and as in you can only get married validly one time?
Yeah, so the Eastern Rites, there is an Eastern Catholic Catechism, and the beautiful thing about being one church, whether you're Roman, Byzantine, Armenian, Chaldean, Syriac, whatever it may be, is that we are all united in matters of doctrine, governance, and worship. So when it comes to doctrine, all of the doctrines, all of the beliefs of all of the Eastern Catholic churches are identical to the beliefs of the Roman Rite, because it's all one church, one faith, one baptism. So the answer is yes, we are all united in matters of doctrine.
Abraham?
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Yeah,
you're
sure
very
thing.
Welcome. Thank you for the great question.
Yeah, thanks, Abraham. Appreciate that.
That's always great because many people they think that Byzantine Catholics that we align more with, you know, maybe with the Orthodox and certain things, but no, we're all united together in the Catholic Church.
Well, let me challenge you on something then. Yeah. All right. So there are usually two things that you hear about the difference of Catholicism and Orthodox, and I got to reiterate it: filioque. Mm-hmm. So. Do the Eastern Rite Catholic churches say the filioque during the Divine Liturgy, or do they omit it?
So the Byzantines do not say the filioque. Mm-hmm. However, if you read the Eastern Catholic Catechism, guess what it says? It affirms the filioque.
Really?
And it affirms it doctrinally. It says that you know, as an Eastern Catholic, you cannot say that the filioque is a heresy, mm-hmm. like some Orthodox might say. But we just don't say it in the creed because the filioque originally wasn't in the creed, you know, so it got added, you know, much later. So it wouldn't make sense to have the Eastern Catholics say it and add it because it was added only in the West.
Yeah.
So it's not necessary. However, any Eastern Catholic that you talk to will indeed affirm and say, yes, the filioque is Orthodox, even if we don't say it in the creed. They'll affirm purgatory, the Immaculate Conception, everything that the Catholic Church teaches, all Catholics, even the Eastern Catholics, we all can affirm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So can we start making icons for the Eastern churches that were traditionally Western saints and things like that?
Of course. All yeah. Right. In my Byzantine, you know, parish, mm-hmm. we have a beautiful stained glass window of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
No way.
In a Byzantine church.
I got to see that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, all right.
I'll send you a picture.
Please do. I'll have to post it on. Actually, if you are, let me jump into this. All right, send me that picture.
All right.
And if you want to see that picture, make sure you join the CE Live Club newsletter. I'll go ahead and post it on there. So if you go to the show description on today's episode, if you're on YouTube, you can go ahead and subscribe there. Or if you're listening as a podcast, you can just go to the show notes and you'll find a link to sign up for CA Live Club, and you'll be able to see the picture of an icon of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yep.
That's
absolutely
pretty impressive.
You ever seen an Eastern icon at St. Thomas Aquinas? Because we got those too, man.
You know what? Actually, I have seen one. So being in Steubenville, the Austria campus, they have a small Byzantine chapel there.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of the Byzantine chapel, they have an icon of Thomas Aquinas. Yeah.
We got St. Thomas Aquinas icons. We got Padre Pio icons. No, we got them all, brother. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Great, great. Now you know. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Abraham. Appreciate that question. We go over to Tiffany in Cleveland, Ohio, listening to us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, so my question is if the Eastern Rites have gone under any more recent sweeping liturgical changes similar to what the Latin Rite experienced during Vatican II. I attend both forms of the Mass in the Latin Rite, and that's kind of been a question that's been lingering in my mind with some mostly Byzantine churches that are near my home.
Sure. So in the Byzantine tradition, in the Byzantine Rite, the liturgy has stayed exactly the same as the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. And just so we know, all liturgies they always undergo some sort of development, some changes, some things get added, some things get taken away. But the Byzantine liturgy has been pretty much exactly the same since around the 15th century, since the 1400s. It's based off of the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom from the 4th century. And it developed, the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, the Byzantine liturgy, developed over the course of about 1,000 years. And it's been pretty much the same since then. We know that, you know, I mentioned that I hang out with the Chaldeans while I'm here. The Chaldeans have indeed undergone some liturgical development as well. All of it natural, all of it organic. Same thing with, you know, I know that, you know, Maronites, they've undergone a little bit of liturgical development recently as well. But the really cool thing is that since Vatican II, you know, and Pope Benedict XVI and Pope Francis have all said that they want the Eastern Rites to be as Eastern as possible. They want the Eastern Rites to maintain all of their Eastern traditions, keep their liturgies Eastern. It's not necessary to Latinize the East. I mean, you can. So at my local parish, so many of the people that attend my Byzantine parish, they love praying the rosary. So that's the beautiful thing about the Catholic Church, is that in the Catholic Church, you can have, you know, Eastern Catholics that also love the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the rosary, all of the Western devotionals. You can have it all. So yeah, there's been a little bit of liturgical development all across the board, over all of the rites. In the Byzantine Rite in particular, it's been pretty much the same since about the 15th century, which is when the Byzantine liturgy was kind of finalized. So it's remained, you know, pretty much the same. But any changes that have occurred, you know, in any of the rites, they're always, you know, just natural, organic developments, just like we've always had from the beginning of the church.
Very interesting. Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. That's a great question. Thank you.
Thanks, Tiffany. Appreciate that question. If you have a question for Alex, the voice of reason, you can go ahead and give us a call, 888-318-7884. There are two lines open, so you will be able to get on with him if you go ahead and give us a call. Once again, 888-318-7884. You know, Alex, what's interesting is for the longest time, especially my experience as a Catholic, mm-hmm. we didn't really start seeing exposure to the Latin, to the Eastern Rites, until I want to say maybe the late 2010s. Mm. It seems like it didn't get a lot of traction amongst the Latin Rites. What do you think are the reason why it started getting more traction?
Well, first of all, I think the reason that I didn't even know that there was an Eastern Church 50 minutes away from where I live back home in Albuquerque is just because the Eastern Rites, you know, here in America, they're so small. They're so small. So, you know, we don't, you know, in New Mexico, my parish is the only Eastern Catholic parish of any rite in the entire state.
Oh, really?
So they're kind of hard to come by. I mean, here in California, you guys have an abundance of Eastern Catholic. Just here in San Diego, you have like five different Eastern Catholic parishes that you could go to, which is a blessing. But I think that the reason that our awareness of the Eastern rites of the church, you know, has increased is because of the internet, because people want to learn about the ancient faith. So they go and they learn about all of these different liturgical traditions that obviously, of course, still exist today. And then also in engaging our, you know, our Orthodox brothers and sisters, you know, we fall in love with the beautiful Eastern tradition, right? It can't be ignored.
Yeah.
And then it's such a beautiful thing when you realize that everything that you find in the Eastern traditions, all of it, you have it in the Catholic Church, in the Eastern Catholic, rites. So the reason that our awareness has gone up is because beautiful things are really hard to ignore. You can't ignore beauty, and the Eastern traditions are so beautiful that when you see it, you gaze upon it because it's so beautiful, and you want to, you know, enter into that beauty. So I think it's awesome. I really think that the Eastern Catholic rites, you know, I was talking about this just last night, you know, with Father Simon. I think that, you know, the Eastern traditions, the Eastern Catholic rites are going to help us bridge the gap with our Orthodox brothers and sisters. So I think we need to promote the Eastern Catholic rites so much.
It almost seems like there seems to be a natural unity that's starting to happen.
Yes.
Where I think the first couple of times when I met certain Orthodox, It almost felt like there was a little bit of hostility back and forth. But in my eyes, I thought, I'm coming this from the perspective of John Paul II and the church breathing with two lungs, right?
Absolutely.
And I think there's a shift there where we can come into full unity if it's expressed in that way, and saying you don't have to give everything up,
you
all
don't
of
have
your
to
traditions.
Give up anything.
Yeah, you can
keep everything that's good, true, and beautiful about what you have. as an Eastern Orthodox or an Oriental Orthodox or a Syrian Church of the East, all of that stuff stays. Mm-hmm. And you get to have the fullness of the truth of, you know, the faith in the Catholic Church.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. One challenge I'm going to give to you since I have you here. I guess Orthodox objections.
Yeah.
The early church was Orthodox, not Catholic.
Well, if you actually go into the early church and you read the ecumenical councils, the councils that Catholics and Orthodox share, read the Council of Ephesus, read Constantinople III, read Nicaea II, and even like the Council of Chalcedon and even Constantinople II, which is a very controversial one, they teach the Catholic papacy. This is what those councils teach. Ephesus, Constantinople III, and Nicaea II, they teach that the papacy is a divine institution that can never defect, and that the Holy See, the Church of Rome, can never lose the apostolic faith. Those councils teach this. Wow. So just go into the early church, and you can go all the way back to the, you know, even the Ante-Nicene fathers said the same thing. Saint Irenaeus of Lyon said that all of the churches in the world need to be in agreement with the teachings of the Church of Rome.
Beautiful.
The Church of Rome can't lose the faith.
Beautiful. Love it. All right. Well, lines are full. So when we come back from the break, we're going to just go through as many questions as possible here with Alex, the voice of reason, with the great mystery of why it's called the voice of reason. We'll be right back right after this break.
Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme, Go Make Disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. You know, we're in the middle of Lent, and you know what we do here at Catholic Answers is we try to make your Lent as great and awesome as possible, which means we have the great book steal for Lent at shop.catholic.com. This week, we're running what is easily our most popular promotion of the year, and the winner is you. Visit shop.catholic.com right now for our Sweet 16 $10 book sale. 16 of our most popular books on the Catholic faith, just $10 each, including new releases and bestsellers. Fill out your bracket now with this great collection of Catholic resources, just $10 each at shop.catholic.com. You probably saw, if you're watching the video, you saw me grab this giant stack of books, a lot of our classics, a lot of our new ones. All these are available at shop.catholic.com just for $10 each. So go ahead and get on it because Lent's not over just yet, and you can definitely use some more Catholic reading, and including a lot of great books on all, just a variety of topics. So check that out, shop.catholic.com. And we are here with Alex, the voice of reason. My friend, you filled up all the lines. You want to jump back in?
Oh, I filled up all the lines?
Filled up the lines.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We jump straight to Jeff in Tennessee, who is also watching or listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Alex, I have to say I found you on Instagram, and I love your content.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah. I love your demeanor. I like the way you handle questions and the way you kind of you debunk some of the myths and the issues people have with Catholicism. Mm-hmm. But my question is, maybe a simple question is, you know, if I'm in an area and let's say I can't go to the Roman rite and go to Mass to fulfill my obligation, can I go to a Byzantine and fulfill my obligation?
Absolutely. So this is something that I had mentioned earlier. The beautiful thing about the Catholic Church being one is that we're one in not only doctrine, not only governance, but also worship. What that means is that when you're a Catholic, you can receive the Eucharist at any Catholic church, regardless of the rite. If I'm a Roman Catholic, I can receive the Eucharist at a Byzantine church, an Armenian church, an Alexandrian church, a Syriac church, and it actually does indeed fulfill my Sunday obligation because we are all one church and we are all united in matters of worship. But I could even do you one better, my friend, because the church also teaches that, let's say, you don't have a Catholic church at all of any rite, not Roman, not Byzantine, no Catholic church at all. The church actually does say that in an extraordinary circumstance such as that, you could actually even go to an Orthodox church, an Eastern Orthodox church, an Oriental Orthodox church, the Syrian Church of the East, and you could actually indeed receive the Eucharist because they do have a valid Eucharist, and you would be predisposed to do so because you do not intend schism. So you could even receive the Eucharist from those groups as well in the extraordinary circumstance that you would not have a Catholic church available. But even in ordinary circumstances, like I did, you can make a Byzantine church or any Eastern Catholic church your home parish and receive the Eucharist there, and it fulfills everything. Just remember that, you know, if you're a Roman, you are indeed bound by Roman canon law, and you still have to observe the Roman holy days of obligation.
Jeff?
Oh, that's great. Can I have a follow-up?
Yeah, go right ahead.
If I did go to a Byzantine, I would know what's going on, right? I mean, is it similar service?
You would be able
similar
to...
Similar Mass?
Yeah, so you would be able to... You always get to recognize the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And those are the two things that are essential to worship. You have to have the proclamation of the gospel, and you have to have the administration of the Holy Eucharist. You will always recognize that in any rite. But the cool thing about the Eastern rites is that you're going to hear all of these beautiful prayers that you've never heard before, all of these beautiful hymns and chants that maybe you haven't heard before. You're going to see, you know, the sights that you see are things that are going to be completely new to you, but you can always recognize the fullness of the truth in the proclamation of the gospel and in the Eucharist. So if you've never seen an Eastern Catholic liturgy, my friend, go and check it out. It is beautiful. They're all beautiful.
I will say, I highly recommend to all of my Latin Rite Catholics, if you have never been to a Byzantine church, you have to go.
Yeah.
It's going to open your eyes to, like, the Catholic Church isn't just what I see in front of me every Sunday.
It really is universal.
It really is universal. Yes. And to see these different traditions, the chants, all of it, it's just absolutely magnificent and highly recommended. One of my favorite things is during Easter, the constant repetition throughout the liturgy of proclaiming his resurrection.
Yes.
And over again, it just gives you goosebumps just when you're in the moment there in the liturgy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, when are you going to go?
Oh, man, I tell you what, I got goosebumps. I'm kind of excited. I'd like to.
I got goosebumps, man. I'm excited for you, man. You let us know when you go, man. Can't wait for you to experience it. Call us back and let us know how it was for you, man.
And you know what, Jeff? I'll tell you this. This is not the last time that Alex is going to be on the show. So next time he's on, you make sure you call back and report
Jeff,
back.
I need to hear from you, brother. I need to hear from you, man.
I will. If I can do it, I will. I'll call back. Thank
Perfect.
You, Alex.
Excellent. God bless you, Jeff. Right, pray for us.
God bless, Jeff. All right. With that, we go to Byron in Arkansas. Go ahead, Byron. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Alex, I just want to say I found you on YouTube, and because of you and so many others, I'm a proud Catholic.
Glory to Jesus
so
Christ.
So my question is, I just recently came into the faith about a year ago. My wife has brought me into a non-denominational church, and I liked it, but doing research on my own, like on YouTube, like where I found you and Sam, I feel like I need to go to the Catholic Church to find the fullness of the Catholic faith. So I have been going regularly for about 6 months, but I feel like the non-denom and the Catholic is kind of putting a wedge between me and my wife. Now, since my wife brought me to religion through the non-denom, I kind of feel like she always has like a one-up on me because she's the one that brought me to the faith. So I was just wondering if you could give me like a Bible verse or just something to where I could kind of like hold my ground and just, like, the biggest thing that she gives me is that she has a hard time praying to Mary. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of stuck there and just looking for guidance.
Right. Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for the great question. Wouldn't it be beautiful to know that your beautiful wife brought you to the faith and then that you brought her to the fullness of the faith? That's a story that I want to hear. That's what I want to see happen with you. What I would say is, you know, because you're asking for a specific, you know, Bible verse and, you know, a specific objection that she might have about Mary, that's totally fine. We'll get to that. But first, I would start by maybe you asking her, hey, the entire Bible itself, the whole thing, this book that we have that we call the Bible, that we both believe is the inspired word of God, ask her, how do you know that this book in its entirety, that all of these smaller writings that make up this book, how do you know that this really is the inspired word of God? How do you know that there isn't anything missing from this book? Or what if there are things included in this book that don't belong, that are not inspired by the Holy Spirit? That's the question that you want to ask her, because when you ask her that question, she's going to be forced to have to look at something outside of the Bible. And she would not have an answer for that, because the only thing that you can appeal to would be the church that is able to tell you what is scripture and what is not scripture. Go to the scriptures and say, you know, 1 Timothy 3:15 says that the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Matthew 16 and Matthew 18 says that the church actually has the authority to bind and loose. Hebrews 13:17 says that we have the obligation to obey our leaders because our leaders are keeping watch over our souls. Right? John 14 and John 16 says that the Holy Spirit leads the church into all truth. The church into all truth. Jesus says in Luke 10:16, whoever, you know, talking to his apostles, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever doesn't listen to you, whoever rejects you rejects me. And then when you read in the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul, the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, you see that the apostles ordained men to the ministry and put them in charge over the churches. So what I want to know is, where are those successors to the apostles? Do they still exist today? And how do I even know that the Bible that I have really is the inspired word of God? And when it comes to maybe any issue that she might have with the Blessed Virgin Mary and with asking her for intercession, tell her to read John chapter 2 about how Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in John chapter 2 at the wedding at Cana, she goes to her son and she influences him. Jesus allows himself to be influenced by his own mom. When she says, son, they've run out of wine. And what does he say? He says, it's not my time yet. Even though it wasn't his time, Mary still influenced her son, and he honored her, because Jesus perfectly upholds God's law and he honors his mother, and he fulfilled the request of his mom. Tell her to go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 explicitly says that the mother of the Messiah is the mother of all Christians. Revelation 12 says that the devil tries to make war against the woman, but the devil can't touch the woman because God protects the woman. So the devil goes and he wages war on all of her offspring, all of her children, who are those who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. So if you claim to follow Jesus Christ according to the Bible, that means that you are an offspring of the woman, the mother, who is the mother of the Messiah. So if we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, then we also have a relationship with his mom. We have a relationship with everyone that is in relationship with him. That's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are all one body And one member of the body cannot say to another member of the body, I don't need you. And you could tell your wife, you could say, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to ever say to anyone that's in heaven, anyone that made it, anyone that's a member of the body of Christ in heaven, especially the mother of our Lord, I never want to say to her, I don't need you. Especially when you consider what John 2 says, what Revelation 12 says, and when you consider her role in the salvation of mankind. Remember.
Perfect.
Jesus Christ.
I'll make sure that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Jesus Christ is the Jewish king. He is our king. And if you go to the Old Covenant, you see that the queen in the Old Covenant was the mother of the king. Because, you know, the scripture says that Jesus takes the Davidic kingdom. He's on the throne of David. That means that his mom is our queen. So if God gave us a queen, let us honor a queen and let us ask her for her prayers, because she has a special place with our king.
Byron, I'm going to have to leave it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Byron.
No problem. I just want to say thank you, Voice of Reason. Thank you so much. I wake up every day, get on YouTube, and I look for a video of you, and you truly inspire people. I know you guys were just talking about Catholics being on fire, and I couldn't describe it any other way. For someone who's just coming into faith, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Byron. God bless you. Pray for us.
God bless you. Byron, don't hang up just yet, because as a welcome to the church, we want to go ahead and give you Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. So hang on the line. Luca will get your information, and we'll get that out to you for free, my friend. So just hang in there. All right, we're going to go to our final break for the hour. When we come back, we'll finish the hour up with the Voice of Reason.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Once again, Edgar Lujano filling in for Cy Kellett. Before we get back to the phones, for you people who are here in Southern California, we have something really cool coming for you in the summertime. We are here with my good friend, Eric Tafoya, the traditional urban Catholic, who's going to be sharing a little bit of good news coming up during the summertime. Go for it.
Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, hey, thank you for having me, brother. You know how I love Catholic Answers family, especially when we're defending our faith. But I got a question for him. I got a question for our brother Alex right now. I'm going to ask him a question. What are you going to be doing June 28th, 2025? That's my question right there.
Well, how interesting that you would ask such a question, because I just so happen to have this right here. This is the flyer for this amazing event that is happening on June 28th, 2025. It's going to be you, my friend. It's going to be me, the Voice of Reason. It's going to be the legendary Tim Staples.
Amen.
We are having a Catholic Men Conference, the second annual Catholic Men Conference. It is called I Believe, Help My Unbelief. It is a Jubilee Pilgrim Destination event at St. Peter and St. Paul Catholic Church in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Look at, you got me, you got Tim Staples, you got Father Victor, you got Father Gino Galli. We got you. You're going to be there, bro.
We're going to be there.
So the question is, what are you going to be doing on June 28th, 2025? If you're a man, you qualify to come here to this amazing event.
Amen. And I just, you know, I want to add something to it too. So on the 28th, Brother Alex is going to be with us for the Catholic Man Conference. And on the 29th, we don't have the flyer yet, but all women that are listening at El Carmelo, the Carmelite Retreat Center in Redlands, we're actually going to be having a women's retreat. So if please, if you guys contact us, we can give you more information later on about that. And join my channel too, Traditional Urban Catholic.
Yeah. One final thing, where do they find the information to go to the retreat?
Actually go to Traditional Urban Catholic. You can find it on my YouTube page, on my Instagram, on my Facebook. And yeah.
All right, great. Traditional Urban Catholic on YouTube. Look it up there. You can find all of Eric Tafoya's things to check out this conference in Rancho Cucamonga. Check that out once again, June 28th, 2025 in Rancho Cucamonga. It's always great seeing you, my friend.
It's always great. Thank you very much, brother.
Yes, of course.
Appreciate you guys. God bless you guys. Remember, follow me, guys. Traditional Urban Catholic, where we live the faith, we breathe the faith, because the more that we're active and participating in this divine relationship with Jesus, the more we're going to kick the devil's butt when he shows his face around. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's go.
Amen. All right, perfect. Man, I love that, man. He just, he's on fire for the faith.
This is a man right there, man.
That's right.
I'm excited, man.
Beautiful. Well, let's go ahead and get to as many calls as possible before the end of the show. We go to Matthew here in San Diego. He's listening to us on the app. Matthew, go right ahead with your question.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. I've been watching you since probably late 2023, and you, besides Jesus Christ, are the reason why I'm becoming Catholic this Easter.
Brother.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you.
What
thank
an
you,
honor.
Man. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. That's Lord have mercy on me, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, Matthew, go ahead with the question.
What was the biggest adjustment when first attending the Divine Liturgy of the Byzantine Church?
Learning how to flip through the Missal, man. The Missal of the Byzantine Rite, man, is you do a lot of flipping through that Missal, so that was all it is.
Okay.
But yeah, man, it's so beautiful, so mysterious that you kind of just lose yourself in the mysteries, and you could, which means you can also really lose yourself in the missile. So you gotta attend quite a few times to learn how to manipulate that bad boy, man. Because it's kind of, they don't make it easy, man. They don't. It's not, you know, it can be a little hard. But that was the biggest adjustment for me.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely want to visit. Sure.
Please do, brother.
All right, Matthew. Hey, thanks for your call. Really appreciate that. We're going to Zinaf, our good friend Zinaf. Haven't heard from you in a while in Dallas, Texas. Zinaf, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great, doing great. Well, welcome. It's been a while.
Thank you. Hey, Alex, thanks for everything you're doing for the church. I'm actually a Roman Rite Catholic, but I do attend the Eastern Divine Liturgy as well. But it's always this issue I've been hearing ever since I was growing up. People always refer to the Catholic Church as a Roman Catholic Church. And, of course, even Catholic theologians make that error. Instead of saying the Catholic Church, they often say the Roman Catholic Church. Is there any way we can help clarify that?
Yeah, well, you know, what's so interesting is that the term Roman Catholic Church didn't come from us. It actually came from the, what they call themselves, the Anglo-Catholics, from certain Anglicans. They used that term to differentiate themselves from us. So the Anglo-Catholics started calling us the Roman Catholics, and it kind of just stuck in, like, in the West. Like, here in America, that's what we call ourselves, but that term, Roman Catholic, we don't use that term, like, anywhere else in the world.
It's kind of a slur, though,
it was a slur. They use it as a slur against us. And it's true. When you say Roman Catholic, oh, you know, the Byzantines and the Armenians and Alexandrians and Syriacs are like, what about us? We're all Catholic, too. So I think that just saying the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the Catholic Church, capital C Catholic, that's all you need, baby. And within that, that includes the Latins, the Greeks, the Syriacs, the Coptics, everybody. So, yeah, we're just one Catholic church, you know?
You know, it's funny. I've always wanted to be in a room when there's an anti-Catholic saying, you Roman Catholics, to an Eastern Catholic.
I'm like, what are you talking? I'm Byzantine, baby. Yeah. What are you talking about? That's what I tell them. Yeah.
How's that, Zinaf?
Thank you so much, Edgar. Thank you, Alex.
Yes. Thank you, Zinaf. God bless you. And any friend of Catholic Answers is a friend of mine. So we're friends now, Zinaf.
Thank you.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Zinaf. Thanks for your question. All right. We're going to go ahead and stay in Texas, and we go over to Charles, who's in San Antonio. Charles, go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Alex, I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I am too new to the church, but last year and the year before that, going through RCIA, that's where I found you on YouTube.
Welcome home, brother. And
clearly, you're a genius.
Oh, no. Jimmy, you're not talking to Jimmy Aiken, so you're talking to Alex.
Well, I hate to be play the devil's advocate, if you will, but regarding your time with Mr. Janko,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of other videos, but I haven't heard anyone ask you about, you know, you're usually very spirited, let's say mildly aggressive on some of the reaction videos from Patreon.
Should have seen him before the show. He got aggressive on me.
Oh, yeah, man. Sorry.
You kind of took it easy on him, I think.
You say it again?
I think you kind of took it easy on George.
You think I took it easy on George? Well, let me tell you this. So George himself said at the beginning of the conversation, he said that he's a baby Christian. He said, I'm a baby Christian. I just want to learn. So if I had come at him with the same energy that I would come at someone else, you know, maybe like a Dr. James White, who's a good friend of mine, by the way, that wouldn't be right. I would be a jerk if I did that. He said, I just want to learn. I have questions. Please answer my questions. So I said, yeah, man, I'm happy because he is sincere. So because he's a baby Christian, like, you know, like the scriptures say, you know, babies need milk, not solid food. So if someone says, hey, man, I'm a baby Christian, feed him milk. But let me tell you something. George knows his stuff, man. He might be a baby in the faith, but for a baby, he's like a big baby. And he knows his stuff, man. George knows his stuff. He's like a baby that's like way ahead of the curve. He's gonna be one of those like 6'6", you know, linebackers in the NFL that, you know, he really knows his stuff for being so new to this. So yeah, man, you know.
So he's gonna be a lion when he becomes Catholic.
When he becomes Catholic, George Jenko, he's going to bring so many people to the faith. He's gonna be a giant, man. He's already a giant. But when he becomes Catholic, man, it's over for everybody. I'm telling you.
Charles, thank you so much. I'm going to have to leave that right there because I want to get more people on the air. Fernando in New Jersey, you're on the air. Go right ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Go ahead.
So, I heard before that if we don't have the ability to assist and fulfill our obligation through a Latin rite Catholic Church, we are okay to go and assist Mass and worship in an Eastern rite church. That's great. What about with the sacrament of reconciliation?
Mm-hmm.
Will we be okay to go to confession with a Eastern Rite priest?
An Eastern Rite or an Orthodox priest?
An Eastern Rite.
Eastern Rite priest. Oh, okay.
Eastern Rite?
Eastern Rite.
Yeah, yeah. You can go to an Eastern Rite priest. If you're a Roman Catholic, you can go to an Eastern Rite priest for confession at any time. It doesn't have to be an extraordinary circumstance. Even in an extraordinary circumstance, you could even go to an Eastern Orthodox or an Oriental Orthodox priest in an extraordinary circumstance where you're, let's say you're in danger of death and you have no Catholic priest of any rite around you, but you have Orthodox priests or Oriental priests, you know, Eastern or Oriental Orthodox priests, you can go to confession with them. They can give you the Eucharist. They can give you the anointing of the sick. So in an extraordinary circumstance, absolutely, yeah. But remember, in ordinary circumstances, you can go and receive the sacraments from any priest of any rite at any time.
Fernando, thank you. I'm going to leave it right there. I want to try to squeeze in William from Texas. If you can be really quick with your question, we can get you an answer.
Are y'all able to hear me?
Loud and clear. This voice sounds familiar.
It should sound familiar.
Oh, my goodness.
My brother, Alex.
I know who this is.
For you, my man.
Oh, my goodness.
My brother, I got a question for you, and you're the man to answer it.
Oh, my gosh.
When it comes to the papacy, Immaculate Conception, Filioque, canon, as an Eastern Catholic, would I be bound to believe in all of those? Or because I'm an Eastern Catholic, is it a negotiable? Or are those teachings that I am bound to believe in? You're the man to answer that, brother.
Oh, my good. Well, that's a big – I'm so honored and humbled that you said that I'm the man because – for those who don't know, William Aubert is my mentor. William Aubert is my teacher. So now the pressure's on because if I don't get this right, he's going to call me right after this and I'm going to be in big trouble. The answer is, as an Eastern Catholic, as any kind of Catholic, we are all bound to believe the definitive teachings of the Magisterium of the Catholic Church. Anything that the Church has defined, anything that the Church has said is divinely revealed, such as the Immaculate Conception, Purgatory, all of those beliefs, all Catholics, Roman, Byzantine, Chaldean, whatever it is, we are all bound to believe in what our Holy Lord revealed to mankind. So, yes, we are all one church. We are all united in matters of doctrine.
I got to say, I am absolutely honored to be on with two greats of the great new kids on the block of Catholic apologetics, William Albrecht.
William Albrecht, God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling, man. Yeah. You made my day.
Alex, that was a fantastic answer. Phenomenal, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless, William. Great to talk to you, my friend. Alex, your first hour of Catholic Answers Live as a guest has officially concluded.
My brother, I think you can tell Tim Staples that he can stay home. I got this. I got this.
All right, you're going to have to tell him yourself. And he used to be a boxer, too, so careful now.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, but Tim is a man.
But there's no Adrian around.
Adrian around? Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Alex, Voice of Reason, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank
this will not be the last time.
God bless you guys. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. And with that concludes that first hour of Catholic Answers Live with the Voice of Reason. Next hour, the one and only Tim Staples. So get ready. Give us a call, 888-318-7884.